I'm going to the book of Job today, chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. And I want to share this story with you, this message. I believe the Lord will bless you and help you today. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? The book of Job, chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. And I thank you. I give honor to your pastors. How many love their pastors? Listen, you got some of the classiest, best looking, I mean, like top tier leaders. And God could have put you anywhere, but he made sure to put you here because he wanted you to have his best. And so I implore you, be faithful to this house. Thank God every day. I'm going to give you 30 every day for the next 30 days. Just say, thank you, Jesus, for Freedom House. Thank you, Jesus, for my pastors. Just bless them, because when you bless them, God will bless you. Amen. There's a great, great, great. Not that there hasn't been, but there's a great, great next in store for Freedom House. I'm prophesying. There's a great, great next in store for Freedom House. Beyond even what you're planning for, because there's your plans and then there's the anointing of the Holy Ghost that says times 5, times 10, times 20. Get ready, says the Spirit of the Lord, for your vision is in, it does not even compare to what I have planned for you, says the Lord. The Lord says you can't build a building big enough for what I'm about to give you, but revival has come to your house. The Lord says, I hear the prayers of a young man named Josiah praying when he had nothing. When he was sending up folding chairs with his wife, there were prayers he prayed that he even forgot about. But I, the Lord, say, I did not forget those prayers, and I have commanded my angels to answer those prayers in this season, and they will live from the fruit of the field. And the Lord says, I've commanded my blessing on this season. You won't have to lift a finger for what I'm about to do, says the Lord, because I've lifted my mighty right hand of blessing, and you won't have room enough to contain the harvest that's coming to this house this season, says the Spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got to preach, but I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. God's commanding his blessing on this house. And if it's coming on this house, then it's coming on your house. While everyone else says recession, 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 you're going to call revival, revival, revival. Recession won't come on your house. Recession won't come on this house, because you don't belong to earthly governments. You belong to a heavenly monarchy. And there's no recession in heaven. There's no inflation in heaven. Your God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and you will be blessed in this season, and your blessing will be noticeable to your neighbors. Your blessing will be noticeable to your community, and it will cause them to ask you, what do you invest in? What is it about you? And you'll say, let me tell you about a man from Galilee named Jesus of Nazareth. He's never lost an election. He's never had a hard time. He's never had a down inflation or a down stock, but we go in his kingdom from glory to glory to glory, victory to victory to victory, and your blessing will cause others to come to this house and to lay everything at the feet of Jesus. I declare to you, our blessing will be our testimony in this season that God is great. Hallelujah. 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 I feel the Holy Ghost here right now. 8:30 didn't get this, ladies and gentlemen. Don't tell him though, because I want to come back. Hallelujah. Job 5:22. You will laugh in the face of destruction. You will laugh in the face of famine. Wild animals will not terrify you. That includes donkeys and elephants. It'll get to somebody here in a little bit. You will be at peace with the stones of the field, and its wild animals will be at peace with you. And you will know that your home is safe. And when you survey your possessions, nothing. Someone say nothing. I know you forgot Spanish, but say nada. Nothing. Nada. Nothing will be missing. I want to preach to you today from this subject. Get it back. I don't know what your it is, but it's time to get it back. Father, use me for your glory. Let everything I do and say point towards you, and may your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, I say healings and miracles are about to break out. Amen and amen. Would you give God praise one more time? You could be seated in the presence of the Lord. I hadn't thought about this in a little while, and it came to me very strong this morning, the story that I'm about to tell you. And I feel like it's a prophetic story for this house, for what God is about to do with you. I have a mentor, a pastoral figure in my life that lives in Stockton, California, that I had not seen for quite some time. I preached for him every year for about 20 years, and a little while had gone by and I hadn't seen him. And he introduced me. I already told you about that Italian place, but did you notice I didn't tell you the name of it so that you don't mess up my reservations there? Hallelujah. But because I don't want to be waiting 30 years for the one over here. I'll tell you about it later, though. I got to preach. It's not time to talk about food. It's called Rayo's. It's amazing. All right. But there's this Chinese restaurant in Stockton, California. I just go from food to food, ladies and gentlemen. There's this Chinese restaurant. As far as I'm concerned, it's the best Chinese restaurant in the whole wide world. It's called Dave Wong's. I've been eating there for 20 years. I would go with that mentor of mine, and we'd sit at the same booth, and we'd eat there. And I mean, like, if you've never ran the aisles over Szechuan chicken, it's because you haven't gone to Dave Wong's. If you eat that chicken with the Mongolian beef and the lettuce wraps and you don't fall out, you must have a demon. There must be something wrong with you. Because I tell you, right, I eat there and I get out of the booth and I look for my catcher. I just fall out. The glory. I get my modesty napkin cover up and I just fall. I mean, it's a blessing. Speak in tongues while you're eating the food. And so I hadn't been there in a few years. I was all excited. I'm going back to Dave Wong's, and I call my friend and he picks me up, and I was supposed to preach that night. Now, mind you, Dave Wong's is 3 hours out of the way of where I was going to preach. That's how good it is, ladies and gentlemen. And so I go to Dave Wong's, we meet, we're having lunch, and it's that old familiar Szechuan chicken right next to the Mongolian beef, and we got lettuce wraps that P.F. Chang's has never known about sitting right there as well. I mean, we're under the glory cloud. Shekinah is over our head. There's angels that are singing around us. Rapture could happen at any moment. The fried rice comes out. I mean, it's powerful. I mean, it was a spiritual moment. And so we're there, and the waitress comes over with her little pitcher of water, and she comes over, and she says, are one of you, now mind you, she's filling the cups, okay? Are one of you driving a red, and I don't remember what it is, my rental car. I said, yeah, that's my rental. She's like, oh my God, somebody just broke into your car. Did you want more bread? I'm like, I need a little more reaction from you when you tell me someone broke into my car. I don't care how normal that is where you live. That's still traumatic for me, okay? She's just pouring. She's like, a little more ice? I mean, I'm like, no more ice, my car. And so I take off. And then I'm like, oh, wait, one more bite of the lettuce wrap. And so I take off running outside, and sure enough, they had busted out the window and they'd broken into my car. Now, in the car is my luggage. I'm leaving here to go preach. And I look, they stole my luggage. Except they left my suit hanging. What kind of a thief is so picky? They're like, no, leave that. That's ugly. We can't even get $5 for that thing. So, like, I'm going through, like, I already struggle with a little insecurity about myself. Do you know how messed up I was after that? I'm like, my stuff is so ugly that thieves won't even take it. They're like, no, you can't even get money for that. Let him keep it. That's his fault for buying it. In the bag are my shoes, my socks, my belt. I mean, I was going to have to get suited up for that night. And so they take, my Bible is in there, my sermon notes, my iPad. Everything was in the bag. My father passed away 7.5 years ago, not to add to the story, but I carry my father's handkerchief in my Bible. And it just reminds me where I come from, and I always make sure to hold on to that handkerchief. It was of everything I lost in the bag. It was that handkerchief, because I can replace everything but my dad's handkerchief. And so they take everything. I've never been robbed, you know, robbed from or stolen. And some of y'all are like, rookie. But I'm just telling you, I had it. I was raised in Chicago, but like, you know, western suburbs. I mean, like, so like, anyhow, we didn't have a lot of break. It's like when someone tells you from LA and then it's like, yeah, Laguna. Anyways. Lord, help me finish this sermon. Jesus, please. Amen. All right, I'm back. Try it. I'm just like a look at the front row. They keep making me laugh. So I feel violated. It's a weird feeling. And, you know, the window's busted out. And, like, I don't know. Like, you got to go and, like, clean out the shards of glass that are left. And so, like, the lunch just ended, you know. And so I get in the car and I'm driving. And because I didn't clean out the shards of glass, I got little pieces of glass flying and bopping me in the back of the head. And I just felt defeated. And I said, I'm not going to go to church. Why am I going to go to church in this condition? I mean, I'm violating every sermon I've ever preached about. You got to praise him in the good times and in the bad times, in the mountaintop and in the valley. I'm like, the valley, whatever. You didn't say nothing about a car robbery. And I just made a decision. I said, you know what? I'm not going to church. I'm going to go back to the airport. I'm going to get on that airplane and I'm flying home. Forget it. And so I called the pastor. I'm like, Pastor, listen. And I told him the story. Of course he's going to understand. You would understand, right? And so I tell him, like, man, this just happened. And, you know, I had no wiggle room. Like, I'm going straight to church. This is the part I forgot to tell you. Why that day I decided to dress like I'm homeless, I don't know. But I had on a t-shirt, I had on track pants and flip-flops. Why? I have no clue. I never wear flip-flops. Why I decided to wear flip-flops that day, I don't know. But I look borderline homeless. Like, the police wanted to know if I broke into my own car when they saw it. They're like, are you sure? And so now I'm driving and I got what I thought was a nice suit, but I find out is so ugly that even thieves don't want it. I got my ugly suit and my flip-flops. That's how I'm going to have to go to church. They're like, oh, is that the clothes you're wearing today? No, this is a new suit. Stop judging me. And so I called the pastor. I said, I can't do it. And I explained what happened. And he says, oh, hermano Tony, when they go for hermano, you don't even have to speak Spanish. And you know, okay, that's hardcore. Hermano Tony, you are preaching tonight. Not like, oh, let's pray and, oh, man, just come and let's see. No, no, I mean, he's apostolic authority. Oh, hermano Tony, you are preaching tonight. I mean, he just laid it down. He's like, there's people in this building right now. And there's people that have come for this revival. And you're going to come. And I'm like, Pastor, all I have are sandals. He goes, that's what Jesus wore. I'm like, Lucha. Hata la babahasha. I'm like, well, that's good that Jesus wore them, but I haven't. And so I had no option. So I'm making the 3-hour drive. The wind's blowing in. And I mean, it was just a mess, okay? And I get to the church, and I'm just going to be honest. I didn't feel like praising God. I didn't feel like doing anything. I was defeated. And so I go and I sit in my chair. For those of you that were raised in the old school church, you should remember back when we had preacher chairs and you'd all, you know, the preacher would sit up there. And most, you know, preachers would do what I call the karate chop praise. They would sit there and do the, you know. And so I went because I didn't want people to think like I was backslidden. So at least I was giving a little karate chop praise. When all of a sudden the camera guy or gal came by. By the way, I had those shoes, which really makes me nervous now. I need to make sure that, are those shoes like acceptable for both men and women? Okay, because I just got really nervous because I'm like, I got those shoes at home. And I thought I was about to have like another like moment like I had with the suit. Okay. So I'm sitting. I promise we're going somewhere with the sermon. The cameraman comes by me just like she just happened to come by me. And I get, you know, I'm in sandals, right? So now I'm like tucking my feet. Because I'm like, this thing is going to be seen by 5 people on YouTube. And I don't want them to see me in my sandals. So I'm like tucking my feet. And the camera guy looks at me while he's doing the whole, you know, like she's doing. And he goes, Well, Chicago, that's how a drug deal starts. I'm like, dude, we're in church. I'm saved, man. You know it. Apparently, that's how they start in L.A. too. As soon as I did it, you're like, no, no, not here, not here, no. Aquí no. And he, oh, I wish I could tell you I was exaggerating. I'm not. Opens his jacket. I'm like, oh, man, here we go. He pulls out a pair of socks. He goes, I heard what happened to you. He's like, I got you socks. He still, look, it could be socks and he's still in holiness, but he still did the whole. Can't get that out of you. You're still safe, you know? He gives me socks. I'm like, man, thank you. But then I realize now I'm going to be that guy that wears socks with sandals. You know the guys. There's a few of them here. I'm sorry. Maybe that's cool. I don't know. But I just, and then he goes, yo, I just bought some shoes and they're not really my style, but they're your style. And I'm like, man, what does that mean? Like, I mean, it's like, do they match the ugly suit? He goes, man, I'm gonna hook you up. So he puts his camera down. He goes, this is your cue to go get me shoes. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But he goes and he gets me shoes. And like within 5 minutes, I got socks and now I got shoes. And I'm like, okay. And so the pastor comes out of his office and he kind of walking towards me, like, because he's still gonna rebuke me for saying I wasn't coming to church. Hermano Tony. And he goes, you need a belt. And he walks away, and he comes back, and he brings me a belt. So now I got shoes, I got socks, and I got a belt. Right about then, an hermana. Everybody knows what an hermana is? Okay, here comes an hermana. This is a Pentecostal church. Here comes an hermana with a flag and streamers in one hand and a tambourine in the other. For those of you that weren't raised in those kind of churches, those of us that were, we know how to duke and dive. And I mean, we knew how to praise the Lord like this, because if not, you'd get a flag in the eye or a shofar in there. I mean, you had to know like when to, you know. And so here comes the hermana. And so when I saw her coming, I knew to, you know, until she came by and then she turned around. I'm like, yes, hermana. She's like, she said, I heard what happened. I'm like, did everybody hear, like, the cheeseman line in this church is, like, alive and well. Man, news spreads quick. And she says, I bought my husband a Bible. He's never going to read it. I'm going to go give it to you. She gets the Bible and comes back, and she's coming at me, and she gives me a Bible. So now I got shoes. I got socks, I got a belt, I got a Bible. I have back almost everything that I lost. I get up to preach. It's going to be a bilingual service. So I'm standing by the steps and the interpreter comes and he says, Pastor Tony, I heard what happened to you. I said, who hasn't? Apparently everybody knows my business. He said, I hope you'll receive what I want to give you. He said, my grandfather was a bishop and a pastor of churches all over Central America. Started churches in Mexico, Guatemala, and Nicaragua. He said, my most prized possession. He pulls it out of his pocket. He said, I got my grandfather's handkerchief. He said, I understand that this isn't your daddy's handkerchief. I heard that they stole your dad's handkerchief. I know that this isn't your father's handkerchief. But the same anointing that was on your father was on my grandfather. And I want to give you this handkerchief. The same day I had everything stolen from me, that same day I got it all back. And I've come in the name of Jesus to prophesy to about 700 people at Freedom House that in the same season that the enemy attacked your marriage, in the same season he attacked your money, in the same season he tried to take your job and your health and your joy and your salvation away, God says in that same season, I'm commanding hell to give it back to you, because it doesn't belong to hell, it belongs to you. I'm declaring that you're getting your health back, you're getting your money back, you're getting your praise back, your song back, your ministry back, you're getting your investment back, you're getting your happiness back, and someone right now needs to shout, it's coming back! The same day that I lost it all was the same day I got it all back. the same season. This has been a season of loss for a lot of people. It's been a confusing season for a lot of people. There are people that used to preach. They used to worship. They used to tithe. They used to have a good marriage. Their kids used to love them, and they used to love their kids. They used to do a lot of stuff, but God says, I'm bringing it all back. Everything the enemy stole and everything you lost along the way, I'm making sure that it comes back. And listen, not just what was stolen, but what was lost. Because sometimes we lose things along the way. For those of you that have kids, I'm going to put this back on because I'm still insecure, okay? But for those of you who had kids, every kid had a blankie or a toy. You remember that? That they couldn't go to sleep without. They couldn't go to grandma's house without it. And they would drag that thing through the mud. They would drag it through the playground. And I mean, they'd have to sleep. And they loved that thing. Until something flashier caught their eye. And then one day they took it and they said, oh, look at this. It's easy for them to lose it because they didn't pay for it. There's no one, but the mom or the dad that bought it, they're like, oh, no, 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 no. I had to work 40 hours this week. That was my debit card that we had to swipe to be able to buy. No. You drop it because you don't value it, but I'm the one that paid for it. And so I'm going to make sure you're not going to lose that, because I know that tonight at 1 a.m, you're going to be crying about, where's my blinking? Now you ought to understand why God has so jealously been fighting for you, because you dropped that ministry like it was nothing. You dropped that marriage like it was nothing. You dropped that anointing like it was nothing. But the Father says, I'm the one that paid the price. I sent Jesus to Calvary to die for you, and that cost me the blood of the only begotten Son of God. And I'm not going to let the enemy steal, and I'm not going to let you lose what cost me my very precious blood. I want to thank God right now that He's never stopped fighting for me, and He's picked up. Goodness and mercy is walking behind you, picking up everything you lost along the way, and that the enemy of your soul is going to be made a fool in this season, because what the enemy meant for evil, God is about to turn it into good. You ought to praise Him right now. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You're getting it all back. Job 5:22 says, you will laugh in the face of famine. You'll laugh in the face of destruction. This is a season when everyone is worried. Oh no, this and this is happening. Oh, what are we going to do? We laugh. Trouble comes, we say, ha, ha, ha. Another problem at home, ha, ha, ha. You say, how can you laugh? Because I've been down this road before. I've lived through some mess before. I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death before. And one thing I know is that if I walk through it, I'm coming out on the other side. And this is a setup for God to do His greatest work in me. This sickness is not unto death, but it's to the glory of God. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it into good. The weak can say they're strong. The poor can say they're rich. The just man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. So when I fall, ha, 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 I'm getting back up. When sickness comes, ha, 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 healing's on the way. When they say recession, I laugh, because I know my heavenly Father, and I know that He's rich, and if He's rich, so am I. You ought to praise Him like you got something. I fly about 300,000 miles a year on an airplane. And I learned a long time ago that when you're on an airplane and the turbulence starts and the planes are bouncing and the wings are kind of going that way, and you always, what they taught me to do was look towards the cockpit and see what's happening at the front of the plane. Because everybody gets real religious on airplanes. Everybody. That plane bounces a little bit. And I mean, people are pulling out rosary beads and prayer cloths and Bibles. It's crazy. People get really religious. Do you ever meet Dave Martin? Oh, I know you. He's a favorite of the house, isn't he? Well, when he comes, you're going to have to laugh at his joke like he told it to you for first. He said he got on an airplane and lady's sitting next to him and she said, this is my first flight. I'm so nervous. And she said, there's an older lady. And he said, well, ma'am, we're going to be okay. I do this a lot and I'm also a minister. And she's like, oh, you are. Oh, thank the Lord. And so he said they took off. Pastor Dave, I'm so sorry I'm using your story, but it's just too good right now. He said they took off and they were flying and they went through some turbulence and the plane started bouncing. And he said he had fallen asleep and the lady woke him up and said, oh, Reverend, do something religious. He said, so I stood up and I said, I want to receive an offering right now here in first class. Anyways, his joke, but it's still funny. Every time we go through turbulence, I think about, you know, standing up and being like, let's bring all the tithe and the offering here to row two, please. But I was taught when there's turbulence, you look towards the cockpit. Because if they're still serving coffee and almonds and they're chill, then you ought to be chill. Now, it's when the captain comes up on the intercom.
Ladies and gentlemen, do we have a pastor or a priest here? We need you to pray.
Then you need to be worried. But if there's peace in the cockpit, if the flight attendant is still serving coffee or playing Candy Crush, yeah, I caught you the last flight. Whatever it is that they're doing, if there's peace up in the front of the plane, then there ought to be peace in the back of the plane. And what does that have to do with me? The Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. When you're going through the storms of life and it feels like everything around you is shaking and discombobulated and out of whack and it seems like things are being lost and stolen, you know what you need to do? Lift your eyes to the hill from whence cometh your help. Look to Christ, the head of the church. And if there's peace and shalom in heaven, then there ought to be peace and shalom in your heart. Because the Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I'm declaring to you, I know what the media is saying, but I'm telling you that if you're Holy Ghost filled, if you're in obedience with the covenant of God, you're not going to beg for bread in this season. You're not going to be forsaken in this season. In fact, while others are losing, you're going to be recuperating. You're going to be accumulating because God has commanded his blessing on you. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The Bible says you'll laugh. And then when you survey your surroundings, nothing will be missing. I'm talking to a mom that's got 2/3 of her kids in the church right now. But the other one, something's going on at home. I'm declaring to you in Jesus' name that when you look at that home, nothing shall be missing. For it is written, as for me and my house, it doesn't say half my house, doesn't say a fraction of my house. It says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I'm declaring nothing is going to be missing. I'm talking to that minister that's watching me right now online and you feel like you've lost your ministry and you feel like there's no purpose in what you're doing. I declare that when you survey the years that you spent preaching, the years you've spent serving, you're going to realize nothing is missing. God has commanded his blessing on you and you're about to reap the fruit of all the years of labor and all the seeds that are sown. I'm telling you, you're not wasting your time. You're not wasting a hallelujah. You're not wasting a praise the Lord. You're not wasting your faith. God has commanded his blessing on you. And a word I declared in January that I declare over you again. Revival is not coming. Revival is here. What you've been praying for, seeking after, it's here. You just have to step into it. Here's what the Lord said. This is the season of restoration, restitution, and reclamation. Restitution is the work of things being restored to you. It coming back to you, being given back to you. Restitution is being paid the spoils of war. Reclamation is the part that I want to close with. Bible says that the Israelites had lost the Ark of the Covenant. their most prized possession, the presence of God, had been carried away by the Philistines. They set it up in their temple next to their false god. And they woke up in the morning and their god had fallen over while ours was still standing. I want to thank God because the Bible says they had to pick him up. You remember that song Maverick City wrote a few years ago? He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid. I just want to thank God that he never had to sing that song about me. Freedom House picked me up. I want to thank God that we've never had to pick up Jesus, lift up Jesus, or turn Jesus around. But I can tell you that in 42 years of life, he's picked me up. He's turned me around. He's placed my feet. They had to pick up, they had to help their God. The systems of this world are falling right in front of our very eyes. And people are having to make excuses for their false gods. They're having to help their gods out, their philosophies out. The next day they walked in and their God didn't have arms or legs, let alone just fall over. And it was at that point the enemy realized, this doesn't belong to us. We have to give it back. No fighting, no more junk. Put it on a cart and give it back. I'm prophesying over some of you that you're about to get it. I don't know what it is for you. It is relative. You're about to get it back and you're not going to have to even fight for it. It's just coming back to your house. But right when they were about to kick the mule to send it back, somebody said, wait, can't give it to them like that. Mm-mm. Do you know who their God is? Did you hear what he did to Pharaoh? Have you read the book of Exodus? Did you watch the movie Ten Commandments? You can't just give it back. You got to put some gold and silver on the cart. You have to give them back the spoils of war. It's in the Bible, lady. Maybe not the part about them watching the movie, but the rest of it's in there. They said, no, we can't just give it back. We got to pay them restitution. I'm declaring over you, you're not just going to get back your health. You're going to get wholeness. You're not just going to get a smile. You're going to get joy. You're not just going to get a paycheck back. You're getting prosperity back. You're not just getting a good week with your spouse back. You're getting a healthy marriage back. You're not just getting your children back in your house. You're getting them back in the house of God. It's the work of restoration and restitution. And then it came back. And guess what Israel did? They let it pass them by because they were so defeated. They were so weary, cansado del camino, that they just let it pass by. That's the work of reclamation. That's what I told you is the most important part today. God does what only he can do, and then you do what you can do. This isn't in the Bible, but it's in my head, which is always safe. But I see an old man. Because they had gone, the Bible says, 20 years without the glory of God. And I see an old man sitting there, and he said, hey, mijo, come here. Remember when I told you about the ark? Remember I told you we used to have an ark of the covenant, and the Shekinah glory would come over the tabernacle? Remember I told you about the, remember? Yeah, you remember. You remember? You remember? Yeah, you remember? Okay, you come here, remember? There it is. See it? It used to be ours. Eso era de nosotros. It used to be ours. And I see a little boy saying, well, dad, isn't it still ours? And I see a dad say, no, it used to be. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but some stuff happened, you know, life happened. Yeah, well, we used to preach. Yeah, we used to tithe. Yeah, yeah, we used to go to Freedom House. But one day, you heard the preacher talking about the breakfast burritos? Well, yeah, well, one day they didn't give me one. So I said, forget that. I'm not going back. Now, I'm being funny, but let's be honest. We get offended over the silliest things, ladies and gentlemen. And I rebuke the spirit of offense in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Mijo, oh yeah, we used to sing. We used to worship God. We used to be consecrated. Oh yeah, we used to, but not anymore. Something happened. Life happened. Sickness came. And so it just passed them by. because they had a defeated mentality. But God parked it. He parked it down the way. Because if it belongs to you, God will just park it till you're ready. God parked it. Here's the good news, because there's some people in here, you need to get up and get it back. There's some of you, it already passed you by, but here's the good news. It's just been parking waiting for you. And if today you'll say, it's time to get it back, get the anointing back, get the prayer life back, get the ministry back, get the marriage back, get the money back, get the business back, get it back. What God intended for you will come back to you. In Jesus' name, would you stand with me in this house? I wish my wife was here with me, and she would tell you an amazing story of what God did for her just last week, showing that pain is never wasted, that even the times that we don't understand why, God has purpose in it. I'm here to tell you, as a man who has lost a lot, who has lived through the valley of the shadow of death and lived more life than what I should have at 42, I want you to know he's faithful. I want you to know that when storms come, it's an opportunity for the master of the wind to calm the storm. I want you to know that in this season of loss, whatever that loss may have been for you, I want you to know you need to be like a kid on Christmas and start sleeping with one eye open. The spirit of Chismos will come on you. Hallelujah. You need to start looking for blessings. One time when I was about 12 years old, my dad was on a ministry trip. I was missing my dad, and I decided I was going to wear one of his suit coats to church. Put on my dad's suit coat. It was a little too big for me, but I wore it to church that day. Had my dad's cologne on, just like your daddy was wearing Paco Rabanne back there. And so I had a little Paco Rabanne there. I could, getting on my skin, so now I start smelling like my father. You know, the same anointing as all. Anyways, I'm sorry, it's the wrong sermon. But anyhow, I'm wearing my dad's jacket, and we're in church, and I reached in the pocket, and I'm like, it was money. I'm like, glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. My daddy is rich. It's like a $5 bill. Doesn't matter. It's the 80s. $5. You know what it made me do? Since my dad's in heaven, well, I guess he's watching. So when I get to heaven, he'll be like, ladrón, thief. You know what I did when I got home? I went in the closet and I checked all his sport coats. I made like $20 that day in my dad's closet. Because once I found something, it gave me expectation. There might be more. God, you didn't know I was coming today. I didn't know I was coming today. This isn't by accident. God knew what you were going through, and he knew what you needed to hear. And God brought us to this house for such a time as this. It's like God just pulled out something you needed. Now, you need to go into heaven's closet and say, Father, what else you got up there? Maybe there's a healing. Maybe there's a new house. Maybe there's restoration for my marriage. Maybe there's a court situation. I feel that in my spirit, a court situation for someone that's going to court, and you need God to intervene for you. You got a better lawyer than Johnny Cochran. His name is Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man, and he's going to fight the case for you. You need to go up and say, God, what else do you have up there? Maybe my ministry is still there. Maybe my song is still there. Because I'm getting it all back.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor, to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.